Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
I want to catch you up and kind of help you understand what I'm preaching today. Thank you, Pastor Daniel, for the great privilege of preaching in this wonderful house where God is doing so many amazing things. I consider it a great privilege just to get to be here today. I'm so thankful I get to do something for God. I shouldn't be here today. He saved my life. He rescued me. I couldn't help myself. I didn't know I needed a Savior so bad till He came to my rescue. He came into a car where I was sitting and contemplating suicide. I was on the very end of all hope, and He came and He touched me and He spoke to me, and when He did, all this layers of confusion broke off and I could see clearly I needed help, and He came to my rescue. If that's you today, you've come to the right place. God can help you. God loves you. God cares about you, wants to see good plans happen in your life. You're in the right place to hear from God today, to experience His goodness. We're going to take time to look at God's Word. Would you take your Bible, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. And before we stand and read, I want to know, have you ever had a new driver in your family? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Let me see your hand. Oh, yes. Today, I have in front of me three of my children here. The two of the others are in the back with Children's Church. Thank you so much. Those of you that are in the nursery, maybe you're helping in check-in today. Thank you so much. Wherever you might be serving with our kids, thank you so much. And wherever else you might have served today, thank you. Coffee shop, welcome team, ushers, security, those of you on media, worship, thank you so much. All over the place, thank you. People making things happen. I'm on my fourth driver. Today, my 14-year-old drove us to church. Hand clap for Akella. We arrived safely. Of course, I was very strategic in when I chose for him to drive us here. Don't you think that would be a good idea? Maybe not during the 5 o'clock drive home. May not be the best experience for a new driver. And not when it's, you know, a foot of snow out and ice underneath it and it's raining and whatever else. Those are not really good first go conditions. But today, on a holiday weekend, when people are sleeping in at 6:30 in the morning, we decided that would be a good time for his first go. So I'm on my fourth driver helping them. Got his permit this week, huh? Got it on Friday, is that right? Good job. I'm still alive. You got us here. Look, now they're sharing stories. Maybe you know what it's like to help your children drive for the first time. Have you ever helped one of your children learn how to drive a manual transmission? Any of you, you learned? Did you learn on a manual transmission? You know exactly what that is. Did you do that? Yeah, me too. It was pretty bad. It wasn't very good. It was very clunky. And then I was in the car when my dad taught my sister, and I wanted out as fast as I could get out of the car. Is anybody with me this morning? You know what I'm talking about, right? So I'm helping my son. We did a little bit of driving yesterday around the parking lot, and I realize, hey, I'm getting pretty good at this. Probably much calmer than the first one, Emma. When it's your first one and you've been in as many car accidents as I've been in, I didn't cause the car accidents, but I've been in some pretty nasty car accidents as a child. Some, you know, they had to pull me out of the back window because the car's upside down. You know, those kind, I've been in several of those. And when you've been in some of those and you're driving with your child for the first time, you'd kind of overreact slightly. I'm not looking at Emma. You kind of overreact. Maybe when they tap the brake too hard or you see somebody next to you, right? Anybody ever done that? Don't raise your hand. I've done it 3 times. I'm on my 4th, and there's Elian. Oh, man. I've shouted at him in the car. There's moments where if they don't hear and do what you're saying, they're going to have a problem, cause problems for others. So there is moments, right? There's moments where you're going to have to vocally change what's happening in the car because you're not the one driving. They are. Have you ever reached across there and grabbed the wheel to protect everyone else in the car? Trying to get on the same page with you because I think we all might know what it's like for those first goes. Now, here's what I want to use that as an illustration for today as I wrap up my short series on Planted. I want to use it as a way to recognize that even though he's 14, and in terms of education, he's 14. In terms of personal hygiene, haven't anybody got 13 and 14-year-olds? We're working on those things. Thank God. We're getting there. I probably just embarrassed him. He's 14. And in terms of being able to work on our little farm with livestock, chickens, pigs, cows, we got those things, got a garden out there. He's well older than 14, but in terms of driving, he's a newborn, right? He's just getting started, doing his first steps. We used the church parking lot yesterday to practice blind corners and blind hills. What a great thing to practice. There was nobody here, but it was first go. It wasn't rush hour traffic, right? Drop him in. Hope you can do good. And as we were driving, the Lord gave me a good illustration that even though he's 14, he's a newborn in driving. And in the body of Christ, we have 20, 30, 40-year-olds that are newborns in the Lord. Maybe even you've been serving the Lord. Maybe you've come here for years and years and years, but you might still be a newborn in your walk with the Lord. And I want to look at what the book of Acts has to say and a couple of writings in the New Testament about how we shouldn't be newborns after we've been coming here for so long. Something should be causing us to grow up, to mature. And our series is called Planted because I was so stirred by Jesus in John chapter 12 speaking to his disciples and saying, unless a kernel of wheat dies and is planted, it remains a single seed. But if it does die and is planted, it can be many seeds. And what the Lord quickened to me was his great desire for us, you and me, for our whole life to be many seeds. We can either be one seed, it's all about us, all about our hopes and dreams, all about our own personal priorities, or we can live in such a way that we have fruit hanging all over us. What is many seeds? What kind of fruit? It's people. People are the fruit, or is the fruit, that Jesus is talking about. There should be evidence in our life that we're following Christ because we have people that we've affected with what God's done on the inside of us. There should be a direct correlation to the people around us. And so we looked at a number of passages in the book of Acts where the early church got planted. People in the New Testament were planted in Jesus and planted in their local house of worship. They were planted in the church. We looked at the role of serving, getting planted on a team, planted in some life group setting by which you're expressing what God's done for you, your giftings, your talents, the joy that he's put in your life, affecting other people. We looked at the Acts chapter 6 story of Stephen and Philip and these men who took on a role. They weren't the pastors. They weren't the great apostles. They were the food program guys. And God did astounding miracles because they got planted serving in that role. Did miracles, amazing miracles in their life. Some of the most profound miracles in the New Testament happened to the food program guys. Oh, that encourages me. Then this last Wednesday, I had the opportunity to preach again, and we talked about another facet about being planted in the house of God, and that is being a people that pray. We emphasize being a person of prayer, but not just that, being a body of believers gathering together to contend and petition heaven for his power to be released in corporate prayer. We challenged ourselves. The Lord is challenging us to move to the next level in our personal life and as a church being planted in prayer. Today, I want to share with you what I believe the Lord has put in my heart today as I conclude this short series. There's many, many more ways we could talk about being planted in the house of God, so it's certainly not an all-comprehensive series, but for this season that we're in, I'm going to give these ones. And today, I want to talk about the call of discipleship. The call of discipleship. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. Because in many ways, I'm making a disciple out of my son, Akella, and my son, Elian, and Easton, and Emma in the realm of driving. I'm trying to get them to a mature viewpoint of driving so that I can feel confident in giving them the keys to my car and having them drive their brothers and sisters down to the peninsula on their own to go fishing and back. And feel confident. I'm not going to do that until I feel like they've reached some sort of understanding in their responsibility, understanding in the dangers that are around them at all times, driving defensively, what to expect from the car. I would never, on their first day of getting their license, allow them to drive to Homer and back on their own. They just don't have the perceptions, the awareness. They're not mature enough in their driving. They're newborns. And we find ourselves in the same, asking ourselves the same question. Spiritually, am I a newborn? Take a look with me at Acts 2. We're going to read verse 42 and to 45. Would you stand with me as we read? This is a staple Kings passage. We are a very unique church, and I'm going to explain kind of what that means in a few moments, but this is one of the staple passages for Kings historically and present time. This is kind of who we are and where we come from. Take a look with me. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It's very similar to the NIV. But for today, on the passages that we're reading, I want you to hear in a little bit more plain English. Take a look at this. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this moment, this morning, at this first day of this week that you have for us. Come speak to us today. We open our ears to hear what the Lord is, what your Spirit is saying to the church, to us as families, as individuals. Come speak to us today. You're a speaking God. So we turn our attention to you this morning. God, would you give me an anointing to say what it is you've put in my heart? Even if it doesn't come out right, I pray that somehow you allow every person to hear In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. Not every church has the same philosophy of ministry. Let me say it that way. You may have already recognized that if you go visit a different church, and there's a lot of good churches, a lot of good churches around here. Recently, I went on yet another trip to go visit my mom and my dad and my sister. My sister's a missionary in Ireland with her family for 10 years, and she happened to be home in Oklahoma. And I went to go visit her. Let me back up just a little bit. In 2019, my mother had a turn of health, and I have, since then, I've been, I think, 12 or 13 trips to go visit my mom to help take care of her in times of need. And in those trips, I've visited a few different churches. And you've probably done the same too. And you recognize that there's different types of churches, and I'm so thankful there's different types of people, and we each have a capacity to reach a certain type of demographic. But in terms of philosophy of ministry, this house is pretty unique. And it's one of the reasons I'm still a part of King's. I love it here. I've been on staff for 25 years. But as a whole, in the United States, we're at a very interesting time in the philosophy of ministry of the church. When you drive through towns on a Sunday night or in the middle of the week, you see empty parking lots. On a Sunday night, you see empty parking lots. Beautiful buildings, empty parking lots. They're not even open. If you wanted to go to that church, it's closed on a Sunday night. There's no midweek service. Very interesting that in this day and age, the church as a whole close on holidays. Church is closing on the Super Bowl Sunday, so they close church. There's a holiday on a Sunday, so we're going to close church. That's very different here. We would never close on a holiday. We don't do that. We don't shut down for a football game. We don't shut down for a fair that's going on. It's just not going to happen. We have a different set of priorities and values. Our priority is the kingdom of God. Our priority is souls saved, people being delivered from the assignments of hell, walking in the blessing of God. Closing for a football game is not going to bring that about in your life. It's a different set of priorities. And yet when you go across the church in the United States in this day and age, it's more of a comfort church. Church about how we can make comfortable. I went to visit this one church, and they're singing a song, and we're worshiping, and I look around, and there's just people just standing there with their cup of coffee, just staring. And the service was only 1 hour. Boom, boom, boom. No emphasis on giving. They didn't call people up for prayer. There was a short little prayer at the end. I got to be careful in the way I say the next thing. Probably should not, so I won't. But I was like, wow, this is not very King's. This is so different. It was all about meeting people's comfort needs. First Church of Comfort is probably what they should have put on the outside. That's a very different philosophy. When you come here, you're not going to experience very many of those things. And I'm so glad you're with us today. If you're looking for a home church, this is a great one. And if your home church is different than ours, get planted in your home church and make it better and get fruitful in it. But our theology of the church is very different. I want you to look at these scriptures, and I'm rearranging my notes here because I feel like the Lord's highlighting some things to us. When you look at 1 John 1 and 3, John writes to the church, "We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship with God, fellowship with man. John's writing to the church and he's telling them this profound key to being planted in church. It's not just a relationship with God, it's also a relationship with people. The approach to going to church, come in after worship, don't talk to anyone, slip out before worship ends, go on with your week. That's not what John's talking about here. He's talking about engaging with people. Engaging with God, engaging with people. Take a look at Hebrews 10, verse 23 and following. It says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. We have a philosophy here that we want people to look good on judgment day. It's been a part of the philosophy of Kings for 40 years. We have a very real perception. And so we are urgers or spur-oners or whatever version of the Bible you've got, prodding people to do something with their life and stand before God with something. This week, I needed to get into where the pigs are. I have six very large pigs. Got my toes stepped on this week. Realized they're heavier than I thought they were. But one of them was in the way, and I needed him to get moving. So I took my hand and push. And guess what that pig did? Nothing. That's how I know they're almost ready, Wally. They're almost ready for a big barbecue. Oh my goodness, he's gonna kill his pigs. And eat them, don't leave that out. I tried to prod them to moving, didn't move. One of our roles and philosophies of church is that we have leaders in place to prod us to do something for God. We're approaching a season coming up on September 15th is the launch of life groups and teams. It's one of the reasons I've been preaching on this planted series. Come on, get to prayer. Come on. I hope in some way you've caught the prodding. Come on, get serving. And so many people are just like those oversized pigs. I don't mean physically. Did that come out wrong? Probably came out wrong. Sorry. Came out wrong. No, maybe it didn't. Because they stubbornly just sat there and didn't do anything. And yet so many of people hear the prodding and they don't do anything. And yet you're going to stand before God to give an account for your life. And you will look back and say, I should have done something. Something. Should have done something for the King. Our philosophy of ministry here is meeting together. It's just like the one in the book of Acts there. In fact, we try to model our church after that very first church that existed because they had miracles, signs, and wonders, and they touched a whole city and a whole region, and they turned it upside down with the power of God, and they had food service workers and people doing the miracles, signs, and wonders. They met from house to house. They met daily in the temple. They were an on-fire church, and we want to be that kind of church here. That's why I opened with that text, because they had something right that we want to hear and see and duplicate. Challenge is we have a different set of values. When I say the word discipleship to you? What comes to your mind? I don't know. This is the only place in the entire world I hear that word. So what are we really saying? It's sort of kind of a Christianese term, isn't it? Discipleship. Disciple. I opened with the story of me helping my son drive to give you a picture of discipleship. You and I are being discipled, or are we? We should be. Take a look at what the early church, look at the writers of the New Testament here, and I want you to see these taunts. Have you ever taunted someone? I used to play a lot of tennis in high school, and I would look across the net, and I would do some sort of verbal or physical taunt. Do you know what I'm talking about? You'll use your words, or you'll mock someone in some way to try to, you know, irritate them. My tennis partner and I, we tried to get the easiest points available. That was, if I hit the other person with the ball, I get the point right away. So we kind of made that our goal. If the ball is just a little bit too high, oh, that's it, I'm going to hit him with the ball. And so then we would stare at him and smile. It's a taunt, trying to intimidate them in some way, or trying to stir them up on the inside. I think you know what I'm talking about. I want you to look at what the writers of the New Testament say to these Christians in a church. They're taunting them. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 to 3. Please bring it up on the screen. Dear brothers and sisters, he's talking to fellow Christians. He's not talking to unbelievers. Look what it says here. When I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world, or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger, and you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. Wow, what a taunt. Look at this one, Hebrews chapter 5, there is, verse 11. There is much more we would like to say to you about this, but it is difficult to explain since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant, doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Wow, is that a taunt or what? How does that make you feel on the inside? I don't like that. They're expecting the believers to be way more mature at this point in their life, and they're not. In fact, they're saying by this point, you should be helping someone else instead of keep getting in line to get helped yourself. You should position yourself to be making another disciple because you've been growing enough, but you're still a baby. You haven't moved on. And I'm bringing to you a word today about being planted in the house of God, moving past observing today's worship, observing what pastor's wearing, observing whether or not the coffee shop was fast or not, observing whether or not the sound's too loud, observing the screen, observing the word, into something more. You were created for much more in the kingdom of God. And he's taunting them, saying, can you please just grow up in the spirit, in the word, in praying and serving? The call of discipleship in being planted. We are called to be a disciple and make a disciple. It's one of the ancient wells of kings. Be a disciple. Make a disciple. The first church had it right. Look at these things. First of all, in Acts chapter 2, they were devoted. They were devoted to the things of the kingdom of God. Think about this. If you had a jar for every category of that you spend your day on, they all represent time. One of them is looking at your phone. Maybe four of them are looking at your phone. One of them is eating some meals, and one of them sleeping, and you know, one of them's you're at work. One of them is you're driving. Maybe you spend a lot of time driving. You've got this long line of jars in front of you, and for every hour you drop a marble in the jar. How many marbles are in your kingdom of God jar every day? I don't mean Sunday. I don't mean today. I meant tomorrow or yesterday. Did you have some marbles in the kingdom of God jar yesterday? How about reading the word? How about time in prayer? How many marbles are in the prayer jar compared to the social media jar? Or whatever it might be. I love reading fiction novels. Good ones. They're not all good. Many, many years ago, I was rereading a series, which I like to do. I think I've read the Tolkien series 8 times, 9 times. I have 15 of those books. But I was reading a different series, and I was on my second or third time through this really long series of books, and the Holy Ghost arrested me and said, "Have you read my word as much as..." I felt arrested on the inside. Whoa, I'm a disciple of this fiction series. I can go so nerd on this fiction series. I can totally nerd with anyone on this series of books that I've read multiple times. Can I go nerd with someone over the Word of God because I've read it so many times? Crickets. Crickets. I found myself saying no. I found myself all of a sudden embarrassed that at this age, I've read, let's just go with the Tolkien series, I've read these 15 books 8 times. Have I read through the Bible 8 times? How about just one book out of the Bible 8 times? Wow, I felt so embarrassed on the inside. I put those books away and have been going after the Word of God. Because I was being a disciple of those, and I love them. They're great. Great spiritual principles in there. We can go nerd later on that. But my real call is to be discipled in the things of God. They were devoted. How are you doing in your devotion to growing in God? Teaching. They were devoted to what? The apostles' teaching. Not just any teaching. The apostles' teaching. They were devoted to right teaching. They were devoted to this. Devoted to this. Right teaching. Not devoted to whatever the popular propaganda might be of the day. Or the you know, new teachings that might have just come out, new revelations of this form of grace, or we're going to redefine this portion of God's word. No, right teaching. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to fellowship with the right people. They were devoted to fellowship with other believers, spending time with other believers. You know, you become like the people you spend time with. It's easy when you have children, you see the reflection of their friends in them. It's obvious. As one of my roles as a dad is to gauge my children, figure out where some things have come from, and maybe prune some things that are causing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You got kids? And you realize maybe they're hanging out with the wrong person because you hear a particular attitude come out of them. And you realize they're being discipled by a friend who's fully defiled. Right? You see the wrong discipleship taking place. The same thing happens in our life. You just might not see it. You become like the people you hang out with. That's why it was so important to the first century church, the first church moving in power, touching a whole city, turning the world upside down, to fellowship with other believers who are full of faith, full of prayer. They hang out with the people they want to become. They fellowship with them. They had a priority on who to fellowship with. And then lastly, I emphasized it on Wednesday night, they had a priority of prayer. So the New Testament church, in being discipled, had a different set of maybe values than you and I have. What values did they have? Devoted to teaching, fellowship, prayer. Do you find yourself as your devotion? Where are you at with that? Where are you at with making that a priority in your life? The longer that you are a part of Kings, which I hope is your whole life, mine too, you're going to encounter a constant encouraging to move to another level of those things. Fellowship, teaching, prayer. In fact, on September 15th, we're rolling out what we call our launch, where we're believing God for 200 life groups to get opened so that you and I can find a place during the week to land and get planted, growing in the Word, growing with fellowship, growing with prayer. Because there must be more than just Sunday morning 9 a.m. to sustain spiritual vitality in our life. Spiritual vitality, our spiritual well-being, is a personal decision on ours. No one can do that for you. Your spouse can't do it for you. Pastor Daniel cannot make the decisions for you to grow in spiritual vitality and to be healthy in your spiritual walk. You have to choose that. When you have children and you sit down at dinner and you have things that you automatically know, they're not going to want to eat that. What do you do when they're little and all of a sudden out of them comes, "I don't want that"? Anyone? Do you just let them make their own decisions? Well, there is a philosophy. There is a parenting philosophy nowadays that you just let your three-year-old decide. I'd like for you to hand them the keys to your car and tell them you're going to let them decide. How do you think that would go? No, you wouldn't do that. So you help them eat things at the dinner table that you know is going to produce health in their life. That's what I'm doing today. I'm saying get into this next season. Get planted. Get planted in a life group. Get planted at prayer. Get planted in serving. I'm trying to spur you on, just as Hebrews declared, let us think of how we can motivate one another into doing something great for God. You and I should be growing in our discipleship personally and getting to the point where we can help someone else grow. It's not that far off. Sometimes we have this maybe perception that we have to have the whole Bible memorized before we could help someone else grow in the Word. That's not accurate. That's not true. If you've yet to walk through the steps of leadership to open up a life group, I want to encourage you. Take those steps. This is the season. Get in Discover Track. Get a part of a life group and start growing in leadership. I am personally leading 3 life groups in this next season. I'm doing 3. How many are you doing? I got 5 kids at home. I work 9 days a week. And I'm going to do 3. I'm trading, making a big trade for some evenings, sitting at home to go to someone else's home. Now, I'm telling you that. I'm not boasting on me. I'm trying to get you to do something. Remember the pig? And it just stood there? I think he may have laughed. It's time. It's time to get planted. Time to get fruitful. Time to make your time count. It's time for your week to be reanalyzed and go, where's the kingdom of God in my week? Where's the kingdom of God today for each day? Not just Sunday, not just Wednesday night. Get in a life group. If you are contemplating opening a life group, in the next week, you need to register your life group. You could do it today at the Next Steps desk. Pastor Tammy will help you. She's out there. Make sure you get it registered. I still got to register my three. I'm going to do a Monday night football men's group. What? Not a dull, boring, you know, life group where somebody's reading out of a curriculum book for 3 hours? No. I'm going to do a love and respect life group. And I'm doing Parents Toolbox on Sundays for parents who want to hear profound tools in their parenting. Would you do a life group? Would you get in a life group? It's time to get planted. Why don't you stand with me this morning? I hope in some way I've given you some thoughts to think about in how you've arranged your week. Summer is gone, leaves are falling, boo. Can you say that with me? Boo, that's right. The trees are starting to smell like rotting leaves. Don't we all love that? Not only are we depressed because summer's over, we got to smell these leaves. Doesn't help. But it's time to get planted. If you're looking for a home church, get planted here. We want you to be fruitful. We're going to preach things and urge things to get you doing something for God. We don't want you being a baby for the rest of your life when you should be growing. Get planted. The Lord's speaking to you today and you've been thinking about opening a life group. Maybe you want to host one. Maybe you don't want to lead it. You just want to get your house ready and let people come over for a short time. It's not 9 hours a day. Talk to Pastor Tammy. She's looking for homes. She's looking for places where somebody will pick up a little bit, have some water and coffee there, and say, come on in, let's pray together. Maybe you could do that. Maybe you could rise up in leadership on a team. Whatever it is, get planted. Come on, why don't you lift your hands and spend a moment asking God, in this next season, what can I do to be fruitful? Father, I thank you, Lord, for this short time together this morning. I've attempted to communicate what you've put in my heart, and I don't know if it all came out right, but Lord, I want you to help us today to even hear the call of discipleship in our life. The call to move past being an infant in our walk with you, to get into word, get into praying, get in a life group, get into prayer, get into serving, growing in those areas, moving to maturity, taking one more step up in this next season. Lord, there's many here this morning. They could open their home for a life group in the week, during the week. Stir us up, God. A new moment each day to open your word. Lord, I pray even an examination of our time values. Lord, there's so much more that could be said in the call of discipleship. But I pray you'd move us into another level of touching our city, and that is starting by being planted in the house of God. And I thank you, God. We don't ever want to have a time of gathering without giving you an opportunity to be made right with God. If you need to be made right today, I'm going to invite you to pray a simple prayer with me. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And if you'd like to be made right with God this morning or come back to him, I'm going to invite you to pray with me. Let's all pray together. Say it right out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I receive today what Jesus did for me. I believe in my heart that he came to this earth. He died in my place. He rose from the dead so I could be forgiven, so I could have heaven in this life and the one to come. Forgive me of my sin. I turn away from sin. I turn to you. Thank you for loving me and hearing my prayer. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, I thank you for each one of these that today and those online, they made a heartfelt commitment. I remember the day I really, truly prayed a prayer to receive you. Something happened on the inside of me. Lord, I pray today, come visit by your Holy Spirit every person that for real today invited you in. Spirit of God, come, fill them with your power. May their life forever be changed in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you received something from God today. This is the hour to get planted.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.